A little late, but just a little out of breath. 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz. In the studio with the irrepressible Skidmark Bob, who will probably take over the show as I have a heart attack. You got your mic over there, Uncle Bob. So stay tuned. I'm going to run around and try to find my guest, psychiatric ombudsperson George Cavallo, talking about the new wild and crazy Drug Him at the Door campaign from our psychiatric masters. Stay with us. Thanks again to that May 5th Bathurst Spears Broadside show that we keep playing the same intro for. Well, we're going to have to do something about that. We lost our original Light the Fire audio tape along with a number of other tapes, which disappeared. Anybody seen that tape, let me know. All you loyal listeners out there, listeners to Bathurst Spears Broadsides. That's the show you're listening to on Free Radio Santa Cruz. I'm your host, Bathurst Spear Robert Norris. And, well, we have Uncle Bob in the studio. This is a marvelous opportunity for us to mill his mind, or is it grill his mind, or possibly simply fill his mind. Anyway, we get to do something with Uncle Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Robert. How are you?
I'm good. I'm not that good, actually, but I'm here. I'm upright.
Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Tasty turkey dinners and the usual gobble-gobble horse shit, yes.
At the vet's hall?
The vet's hall was cool. I enjoyed the vet's hall, though some of the staff of the vet's hall, not you, I got to point out, and not the paid staff of the actual vet's hall, but some of the clown-like volunteers who were standing there with shit-eating grins, shaking the hands of every homeless person who came in, and I thought many of them were sincere and good-hearted, and most of them, in fact, almost all of them. There were a few people who wanted to keep out the itinerant flyer giver, me, told me to leave. It was inappropriate. I said... Well, I controlled myself it being a holiday, but those
you do it every year. What's the problem?
I don't know. I think that every year they have the same bee in their bonnet. You know, they feel that this is somehow an imposition on the space of homeless people. When in fact there were actually, I think I counted two or three homeless people who were upset when they were offered a flyer. But there were, I counted 20 or 30 people came up to me, shook my hand, clapped me on the back, said, "Keep doing this kind of stuff."
No one glad-handled you.
That was handled, but not as glad-handled as I'd hoped. And there were no stabs in the back at that time, so that was always pleasant.
That's good.
For those of you who don't know, I'm a kind of a civil rights nut who runs around at these events giving out flyers about the rights of people.
Nut in quotations.
Well, thank you. Regarding the police and regarding their right to sleep at night, even if the city council and the buyer's sleeping ban, I guess now the sugar sleeping ban, says that they can't do that. In Santa Cruz, you know, I had prepared a nice long tape to guide us through this part of the show because I'm going to run around outside and try to find my missing guest. Can't find the tape I was looking for. What I'm going to do, Bob, if you're bold enough to stay for a couple of minutes.
Wow, you want me to be here for your show here?
Well, I want to. Yeah, you look like an ample subject to test my my new powers on here. Actually, I'm concerned that the Citizens Police Review Board may not be as effective as I'd hoped.
Gee, where'd you get that idea?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I've been grumbling about this one for, what is it, 4 years, 5 years,
mm-hmm.
talking about people's tribunals and cop mm-hmm. watches and, I don't know, street watches and everything else. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit about Cop Watch and about alternative institutions that might actually work the problems such past institutions have had. By institutions, I mean attempts, not institutions, obviously. I know you began a Cop Watch back in 93 and 94, along with Kim Argula and other Food Not Bombs folks, or actually folks who were also involved in Food Not Bombs. Tony Mello, I think, was involved in that. And there's another Cop Watch that actually has begun, a Robert, I don't know what his last name is, another Robert.
Robert. something.
Makes three Roberts. It's starting a cop watch. It meets every Wednesday, 7:30 at the Rise Zone.
Oh, Rob, yeah, I go to those meetings.
Well, you can give us an update on that. In fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a bit of this affordable housing debate that happened about 3 months ago, not 3 months ago, 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago, maybe a month ago. A lot of crap, because it was a scan forum that really talked about everything but the real issue, which is the biggest affordable housing project, which is the Dolphin Lee bulldozing, and that wasn't on their agenda, strangely enough. And it's going to be on the agenda of the people who get bulldozed out, though, I can tell you that. They did talk about the sleeping ban and civil rights, and I'm going to play that section of the tape while I'm running around, and then I'm going to be back 5 or 10 minutes and hope we can, if you're here, Bob, pick up the conversation on Cop Watch.
We'll see if I'm not out watching cops.
And he may be out there watching, and they may probably be watching him. Stay tuned. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I think we have the wrong tape yet again, but we're going to get the right tape, believe it or don't.
Robert, always on top of things.
I am always
96.3 FM.
Thank you. It's always good to have an alternate host.
Station ID for you there.
Oh,
you're listening to Bathrobe Spheres Broadsides. For the poor.
Help. You know what we're going to do?
Okay, you're not getting paid to do this.
We're going to do a blast from the past. For those of you who remember old protests, this is kind of a kick in the butt from 1996, 3.5 years ago. You'll hear the voices of people who are no longer with us. You'll hear the voices
They're
of people.
Not dead, are they?
Or yeah, no, one of them is dead. Sean Alini is dead.
Oh, that's right.
Tammy.
Oh, I remember her.
Yeah, a woman who was pregnant at the homeless vigil. Dan Cooper's daughter is dead. You're going to hear some of that. This is stuff from the City Hall Sleepers protest in March of 1996. Began by Dan Hopkins and Sean Alini to dramatize the importance of not arresting people for sleeping, or at least if you're going to arrest them somewhere, have other places where they can go where they can legally sleep. This was in front of the City Hall. It lasted for 7.5 months, and here's some of it.
Dan Hopkins, you say the officer lied. Now, what do you mean by that?
Oh, man, this is unreal. He lied today. In the early part of the
Lieutenant
day.
Lieutenant Havey?
Yeah, Lieutenant Havey. And then after lying about, that we were going to get arrested at 11 p.m., and then what happened was when he finally came, I asked him, and he says, no, you can sit up all night and talk all night long. And I said, but you didn't say that. You said we were going to get arrested at 11 p.m. And he said, I didn't say that. I said, I have 4 witnesses with their names and addresses right on this tape. And I said, that you did say that. And he says, No, I didn't. So there goes your honesty for the police department.
Oh, come on.
Also,
there was never any honesty in the police department.
Also, another thing is we heard that some councilman actually called the chief of police and told him to back off because what he was doing was wrong. Certain things that he did was wrong. And they did not want him to have us arrested at 11 p.m.
It's actually worse for you. They should arrest at 11. If they arrest at 11, you get media, you get all kinds of people supporting. If they come and arrest you at 4:30, you'll have 2 people here.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
the problem.
But
I knew they were going to do that. I mean, that's what they always do.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't I tell you?
I don't know.
We'll
get arrested.
Political.
Oh, no.
Political,
Evans.
Hey, now, feed the people, not political.
But feed the people separate from what Sean's views and personal things are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's two different things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's my personal views and personal...
It's your to stay here tonight, too.
Oh, yeah. I leave. Nothing is going to get me away.
Sherry Connable going to sleep here tonight, perhaps? You can tell. Robert Norris. I think
you are a fire starter.
but I think that he will be speaking about Robert Flurry.
Yeah.
I'm just getting real sick.
D. Bob, he just came in just now. It's really strange to watch certain people do operate. They operate, right? Like D. Bob just walked in. He didn't say nothing to anybody except he says, well, I'm coming in here and just walk right past us, push us out of the way more or less, and just went and lay down on the concrete. He doesn't have no blanket, no nothing. He's just laying there going to sleep. And he didn't ask if he was going to get arrested or not. He just, what the hell, you know?
Okay, you got another interview, a news meeting.
And there goes Dan Hopkins off to another interview. Am I getting any kind of attention? No. Does anybody care about Robert Norse, the hero? No. Instead, it's Dan Hopkins this and Dan Hopkins that. Well, am I going to get upset? Am I going to get offended? Oh, no way. No way. I'm above all that, aren't I?
Well, we hope we are constantly in the process of improving ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah, it's midnight here at City Hall. We've got a few folks hanging out, including Charlie and Becky and one of those guys whose names I don't know. Al, Glenn Hopkins, Timothy Tyke has just arrived with signs, I mean cardboard for signs. Robert Gore is seated on a blanket with his own display about Satya Graha and the camping van. Patrick is here and
yeah.
All right, police have arrived. Let's see what those guys are up to. Oh, those crazy police are here again. Whoa. How you doing there? All right. So we're doing a walk out to the squad car and see what's cooking. And actually, Sean is talking to the police car. Just sort of chatting and chattering. Yeah. Interesting to listen to. Now, don't talk to that spoil rich boy over there.
Give the guy a break.
Okay.
Oh, he's used to you.
Yeah, we never get used to you, though. That's the problem.
Oh, get out of here.
Good night, Lieutenant Habey.
Is this guy
here? Is he young? Cool. It's Lieutenant Habey, right?
Oh, man, there are more people coming. I love this man.
This is shocking. The man in his truck. So that's Lieutenant Habey, right? Yep, that's right. The man who lied and threatened earlier destroyed signs and literature. I mean, let's get real, shall we?
It is real.
Yes.
Let him feel comfortable.
I prefer to let him feel uncomfortable. You let him feel comfortable.
What were the exchanges between the police?
That's inappropriate behavior by a public official.
This dude, I understand.
Right.
What goes on?
I had to go over the hill.
I wish that were true.
It is true.
Look at OJ. It isn't true.
He deserves a
He does.
He's got a lot of money, okay?
All right, you guys.
Well, they had to back off. Exactly. They got caught with their pants down, so to speak.
Indeed.
Yeah, you know, that some lawyer came up here and said that.
Red.
This is how you
do it. I got it. Thank you.
12:20, and the sign makers are making signs. Sleep is not a crime.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hello? Hello? Hi. Try calling back.
Well, those were some of the, many tapes recorded during the 7.5 month period when people, usually at least two or three of them, sometimes as many as 10 or 15 of them, slept in front of City Hall or waited awake late at night in the cold in front of City Hall just to try to persuade Mayor Rotkin and his council to do something in terms of restoring the rights of homeless people around the issue of sleep. The issue of the right to sleep. And of course, Rotkin's response was to try to close down the vigil at City Hall. Bob, you may remember that.
You tried to make it a park, I believe, so you couldn't be there after dark or something.
Right, close the area after dark. You tried to get a restraining order. Then they made the town clock a park in order to do that back in 1991 when David Flory and Robert Flory and Dave Jacobs and
Chris Gulf War.
Yeah, Rosedale and others were there. Protesting in the wake of the Gulf War, and also against the police violence that came down against those protests and the criminalization of homeless people. That's maybe a good place to begin this discussion with you, as a person who's been interested in Cop Watch. How much of it has been motivated by the abuses, unchecked abuses of local police against homeless and poor people?
Well, I got interested in the whole Cop Watch business when I used to be homeless myself and running into all sorts of barriers with the police and Also doing stuff with Food Not Bombs, always running into some type of issues or problems or concerning the police. I'd go up to San Francisco and see some of my friends violently arrested for serving bagels or just carrying in bagels.
Maybe they weren't the right kind of bagels.
I don't know what it is. And maybe because they weren't donuts. Well, we tried to explain to them they looked like donuts.
Right, why couldn't the police have some sympathy or empathy there?
It's the sugar.
Yeah, let me interrupt briefly, realizing that someone may be trying to reach us on the phone. I'm looking out there in Radio Land for George, George Cavallo.
You up there, George?
Yeah, George. We're at 427-3772, and, you know, I think you probably, if you were the man waiting at the 7-Eleven to rendezvous with me, it is mea culpa. I was late. But I'm hoping we can somehow steer you to the studio so you can do your on-air interview. George, for those, the rest of you, is the outspoken and much beleaguered psychiatric ombudsperson, the guy who, if they lock you up on a 5150, you call him up and say, please, please don't let them shoot me up with Haldol. What can I do? And he presumably comes down and advises you of your rights and sticks with you at the little in-hospital hearing you get before they shoot you up with Haldol. And actually about half the time they don't, because if you contest it and you show an informed reason and alternatives as to why you feel that those medications are not for you and you can control yourself and not be a threat to yourself, to danger to others, gravely disabled, or at least handle yourself on the psychiatric ward.
What is Haldol, actually?
Haldol, you know, that's a good question. I know it's a... The descriptions of people who've taken it, kind of, it's a psychotropic medication administered either orally or by injection, which has significant side effects like tardive dyskinesia, which is, of course, that kind of shaking and twitching and unmistakable, uncontrollable quality which patients who have been, people who have been subjected to this kind of therapy for a long period of time have, and it's apparently irreversible.
I know some cops like that.
Well, you know, I don't know what their private... It's not really a drug of choice. I mean, it isn't something that makes you feel good. It just sort of makes it hard for you to think, similar to Thorazine. It's actually, if anyone's out there who has taken Haldol and wants to describe it for my co-host here, Skidmark Bob,
right.
Give a call to 427-3772. We're going to be talking today about a number of things that we're interrupting a discussion of Cop Watch to put out an appeal to George. That give a call to 427-3772, George, and we will take you and guide you to the studio if you're still up for coming here. We promise.
Not on the air, though.
I promise. Bob here is the master of secrecy. We'll find ways to get this information to you by taking your call off the air, just to satisfy our vigilant internal security forces here, which never rest and never get arrested, apparently. So that's very nice.
Not yet. Not today.
So getting back to the cop watching origins, yes. When did your cop watching career begin, Bob?
My career?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, I don't know. I think it basically started when I was too poor to actually afford any food, and I stole it and was attacked by militant box boys in a Safeway up in Felton, and got involved with a group called Food Not Bombs since my criminal career wasn't working out, and started watching the police violently take down Food Not Bombs people in San Francisco, and observing that kind of abuse. Even you yourself have been arrested there in San Francisco.
Rumor has it, yeah. No, I have. I was arrested repeatedly, not physically brutalized like many people have been, even as recently as, I guess, 3 or 4 weeks ago when the Brown regime or the police department under the negligent eye of Mayor Brown resumed violent arrests of Food Not Bombs food servers who up in San Francisco serve food much more regularly than the Santa Cruz Food Not Bombs, or I guess serves once a week or something.
No, I serve about 3 times now.
Oh, really? Well, that's good news. I'd heard they were kind of dying
Thursdays,
on the line.
Fridays, and Saturdays.
Quick plug for Food Not Bombs, in case you want to help out Food Not Bombs. 425-3345, 425-3345. Mm-hmm. You know when their serving times are?
1 o'clock at the clock tower.
On Sundays?
Saturdays. I'm not sure about Sundays. I know, I think Thursdays and maybe Wednesdays.
To be sure about those times, call 425-3345. I haven't called in a while, but I suspect there'll be a recorded message there that'll put you into the time schedule and also give you a chance to volunteer. So Freedom of Bombs arrest kind of repelled and angered you, Bob?
Yeah, actually. There was one in particular I saw of this guy named Paradox who was arrested at doing a performance art piece with this huge chain and had no intention of hurting the officers. He was doing a performance piece and they decided to grab his chain and he kind of went with it and got wrapped up, and then he started getting choked by police officers and he started turning purple, and kind of opened my eyes to a lot of things that day about the police, and I should observe them and see what they have to say, and even in their day-to-day life. And necessarily it's not physically abusing someone. I think mental abuse as well is just as dangerous as physical abuse.
Yeah, mental abuse sounds like, oh, what are you such a weenie for, you know, mental abuse. But we're talking about putting people in fear. The individuals with guns, the power to deal out life and death, or to deal out long prison sentences, are a serious impact on you when you meet one of these people on the streets and they make a request of you. It requires a really savvy or stubborn...
Order is more like it.
Yeah. And it's certainly, requests sound like orders. Orders sound like commands, and commands you don't even think about. You know, you're threatened with deadly force, or at the most, and certainly incarceration and possible abuse at the least if you don't respond. So it's pretty clear that even in the best of all possible worlds, this is a serious power to give to a class of people, and it should be monitored closely because people are human. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And not only are people human, but there are some institutions that tend to corrupt. Because you are in a position of power, you are often less accountable. And if you are less accountable, you're more likely to abuse your power because you're not going to have to answer for it. And you also have the situation where police officers, not just in Santa Cruz, but in communities throughout the country, they kind of form their own groups, have their own codes, maintain a kind of a brotherhood of silence. I talked to a former police officer.
Fraternal Order of Police.
Yes, the Fraternal Order of Police in Philadelphia, the Police Officers Association here in Santa Cruz, which, by the way, is not doing its bit to clean up the highway. OPOA Barbara Williams.
I don't see her out there picking up trash.
Get off your butt. That area looks pretty bad. As you drive south on Highway 1, you see the highway littered. Then you see this gaily colored sign which says, this section of the highway, you know, gleefully cleaned by the Police Officers Association. They're cleaning out the wallets of the people, you know, in the... No, I don't think I don't know about the corruption in the police department, although I have heard some claims about that, but I'm more concerned about physical abuse of people and the, as you put it, the climate of fear that is created by the police department, often unwittingly to some extent. I mean, just somebody showing up all armored up and ready to shoot your ass down, and that of 15 of your friends, is a fearsome sight.
Well, especially when it comes to like mental health patients, because we're finding a rise of mental health patients being shot down by police, and automatically, I mean, if I don't know, I'm not a mental health patient, but if I were having some kind of mental problems and armed guards or cops show up to calm down the situation, as it were, like mm-hmm. the gentleman in Seaside that supposedly had a corkscrew on a roof.
Charles Vaughn Sr., a black man who was killed a year ago in May, and his killing sparked a fast hunger strike by his son, demands by Mel Mason, Seaside City Council member, a former city council member and now anti-police violence activist, to demand new federal guidelines and federal support and prosecution of police officers who are, let's use the word, killers.
They don't know how to respond to these kinds of things. I mean, they need some type of buffer person in between, especially with these mental health cases. As far as other people, just drunk people, you know, I've seen the police deal with them not too well.
And there's those criminal sitters you see by this up and down Pacific Avenue they can't help it, these kind of crazy hippie types who just... You know, their asses lead them astray, and they just sit down in places on the sidewalk that are criminal. Anyone should know it should be illegal to sit down on Thanksgiving next to a closed store window, but, you know, some people just never learn. You know?
Well, case in point is where the new UCSC Extension building is at Cathcart Pacific.
Formerly the Food Not Bombs place where people were actually and feed the people, both
also,
those groups fed
Farmers
there.
Market used to be in the Ford's parking lot there, which I thought was the ultimate place for it to be.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to, of course, kick them off the mall because the merchants didn't like it. People like Cat Canary and pizza my ass, didn't
I? And New Leaf Market with, what's her name? Christine Quinn? I'm not sure what her name
is. Kathleen? I don't know.
Kathleen Quinn. Again,
talk away.
Yeah. All right. I thought I would chest.
Give me a few pointers there.
Yeah, I'm giving him a few off-air pointers. Bob is actually kind of an amateur at the radio business and knows very little about it. So I have to cut. No, actually, Bob has been here from the beginning. You are one of the founders of Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Possibly.
And you, in fact, it's FCC people listening, Bob Duran, that's D-U-R.
All right, that's enough of that.
No.
Back to Cathcart Pacific.
Yes, Cathcart Pop Watch.
We were talking about how selective enforcement there, like when they're, yes, or, you know, when the dead was alive and well, and a lot of kids came into town and they'd hang out in Santa Cruz, and they never really bothered anybody. It was just this look that the merchants didn't like. This kind of look, and so the cops would come out, and I remember even personally hearing it on, you know, sometimes I listen to police radio scanners and stuff, which is not illegal, by the way, to listen to a scanner. And I've heard even Sergeant Baker come on the line saying, okay, it's time to sting the cattle. And so then they'd roll their cars in and just start hassling people for having their backpack.
Can you tell me you actually heard Sergeant Baker say, it's time to sting the cattle?
Yep.
The last time I actually heard that, or actually saw that referred to in print, was Sergeant Hennig in a memo to the Downtown Association in 1990, talked very seriously and apparently with a straight face about cattle herding.
Uh-huh.
People on the mall, so that they could be the unsightly types could be moved right along. Roman, keep those homeless. Roman, go hide. Don't try to house and feed 'em. Just jail rob and beat 'em. Drive 'em back into the night. A little impromptu singing there, folks.
Interlude.
Yeah, it's a little something for you there. So I mean, that's really, so that was used recently, that phrase by Sergeant Baker.
That was back when there was the quote hippie corner people.
That would be in the 94-95.
Yeah, actually probably like 96 area. Mm-hmm. But first, the whole funny thing about that whole parking lot was people were able to park in it, and Farmer's Market was in it once a week, and there was that little curb right there along Pacific just off of Cathcart, and then they decided to put up these little cone looking rubber things. Thought that would keep people off of it. That didn't work. Then they decided to put up a fence, and that didn't work. So then they put slats in the fence to try to keep people from seeing the homeless people or their vans. That didn't work too well. And then they decided to put the beautification project in there.
It's a 3 inches worth of kind of weird low-end flowers.
Yeah, they were flowers, but none of them lasted very long, so they turned into weeds. There's some of it still alive down over near the cross from, like,
and of course they were removing benches from Cat and Canary and other areas.
They moved benches from that area so no one could sit, and there were other so-called problem areas where people would hang out and convene, which people do in a public place.
Though perhaps, you know, they've gotten a little more timid. I note, for instance, that Robert Steffen, the man who you can still find him on the mall with his kind of black and white, gaily colored umbrella. He now sits at Church and Pacific, right next to his bench is near the new, still vacant Cooper House building. Used to be sitting up near Bunny's Shoes.
Yeah, what happened?
But he got a restraining order.
What?
And
you're kidding.
I want to talk a little bit about that. But before I do, I want to mention that. No, it's true. It's
from
true.
From Bunny's?
Bunny's Shoes. The owner of Bunny's Shoes, her name is Margaret Payne. We probably should try to call her at home and get her views on this. She might want to talk on the air. Probably doesn't. But she wrote a 3-page narrative describing about the menace of Robert Steffen.
Now, he sat there with a sign that says there is no God. That's it.
Now, well, he was also running for president. He could have been a dangerous individual if he got into power.
I see. Robert, who's she voting for?
You know, I there's probably, we can ask her that later.
Coke snorting Bush guy?
It could be, maybe it could be Gore. It could be somebody else. In any case, the point I was making, and here's an incoming call here, was that the benches were not removed. They apparently refused to remove benches this time, but they were before. Let's get this call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Oh, hi, this is Nicholas.
Nicholas
Nutcracker.
Wait a minute, Nicholas Whitehead of SPAN.
My identity has been revealed.
Well, I'm pleased to hear you, Nicholas. Are you listening in on our conversation, or are you just sort of calling in now?
No, I had difficulty tuning in because of the weather, and I'm out of town.
Well, then you better tell us what's on your mind.
Well, yeah, there's two things on my mind. One was last Friday, a week ago, went to down to Salinas with Joe Grossman, the congressional candidate, and we went to a protest about a police shooting.
The shooting of, is it Jose Hernandez? Or?
Yeah, Joe Hernandez. So I'm going with Joe from Santa Cruz, and here we see these signs about Joe who's been shot. And I'm wondering, well...
This is the man who was shot 38 times, his face blown off.
Yeah.
After his relatives made a non-emergency call simply asking police to ask him to leave the house because he just wouldn't go.
Right. And the daughter spoke at a rally down there. She said, well, her father, it was her stepfather, had been... He had trouble in his mind and his emotions. And it's true that he had a knife and was threatening to cut himself. Well, that's as bad as it was.
Well, now, wait a minute. If he was... Suicide would be a crime. So in a certain sense, these police officers were preventing a crime.
Preventing a crime by committing a horrendous crime themselves.
Well, don't consider it a crime. Consider it a form of euthanasia.
Yeah. Involuntary euthanasia. Yeah, it's quite common in the streets.
Well, you've heard dial 911 for murder over in San Jose. That's what you do. But you're saying you were at this rally a week ago, I guess, where the relatives
of... for a rainy night, a drizzly night down in Salinas. This was a pretty good turnout of about 150 people in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
And they marched from the morgue or mortuary all the way to the police station. And no police spokesman came out, of course.
And what about the city council or the DA's office? They, of course, are immediately mobilizing up to prosecute the guilty officers.
You know, it was severely offensive to the family and the organizers of the march that the mayor, who's a Latina, had promised to be there, had made a commitment to them to show up at this rally. They did not show up, and neither did any other city council person or anybody from the city.
Well, Mayor...
big polarization.
Mayor Keith Sugar has often made commitments to return phone calls that don't happen, and I'm afraid Councilmember Crone is due on the air next Thursday to talk about one of our own new police state measures, the shoulder tap law. I have gotten Councilmember Rotkin to agree to come on, and he'll be here at 6:30 on Thursday, but looks like Crone is still absent without leave. But anyway, the mayor, the Latina mayor of Salinas, agreed to be present at this march.
Ana Caballero.
Ana Caballero.
They certainly understood that she was definitely going to come at some point.
Mm-hmm. Did she send...
No, she didn't send a messenger, because any messages they'd received, condolences, were read out.
Was any new information, Nick, given about Jose Hernandez? The man shot 38 times, his face completely destroyed by police bullets, many of them while he was down on the ground, as we understand, because of the bullet holes in the floor.
Populist movement in the Montreal. around police behavior, especially towards mentally disturbed people. And there was also a city councilman from Watsonville came over, Ramon Gomez. There was a brief appearance, I now remember, by one of the Latino Salinas city councilors, just very briefly. Then there was a speaker from the crowd who was very passionate, and he was one of the trustees of Hartnell College in the equivalent of Cabrillo College, really, community college. And he identified himself as a trustee, as a Latino trustee, and he was very insistent about curbing these monstrous police atrocities.
Did he talk about other atrocities that had happened? Or?
No, but I think the whole crowd there know about what's going on. A big issue, Joe and I almost walked into a minefield. Joe, again, I remind people, he's a Democratic congressional candidate for Sam Farr's seat. We almost walked into a minefield.
You're talking about Joe Grossman, not Joe Hernandez, who died.
Right. Joe Hernandez was no longer with us. Joe Grossman and I almost walked into a minefield because he wanted to hand out some slips of paper making a statement of condolences and calling for action. And one of the things that we thought might be a good idea would be to have a system like San Jose, and we put that down on paper.
What? Oh, San Jose, that's a horrible system.
Well, but we like the idea of the intervention that is that can be done preceding any throwing of firearms.
No, you're not talking about police review. You're talking about how people with mental illness designations are dealt with.
Yeah. So we thought that was an improvement over the previous system where it was just the uniformed police with their guns to deal with it.
Right.
But what we found was the police chief of Salinas was previously second in command in San Jose.
Really?
Yeah. And that he's very unpopular, and that one of the things he's criticized for is this very intervention system. So although the intervention system sounds better from a psychological point of view, apparently
it isn't effective. Isn't effective because of there's no substantial changes there.
So we all have to look more closely at that.
Well, you know, I remember when Charles Vaughn Jr. did a hunger fast because Representative Farr and the rest of the gang there was not doing anything about the shooting of, or capping, as the cops called it, of his father, African-American activist Charles Vaughn Sr. on the roof of the...
Charles Vaughn Jr. was there.
Right. He did a fast, and he talked about how, you know, he wanted to have, you know, there be some, you know, specific federal appropriations for training police officers. I always get very, very impatient when I hear about training police officers, because, you know, it seems to me that well, I'm glad to hear that, you know, everyone should have good training, police officers as well. It seems to me you also want to hold police officers accountable for the violence that they have inflicted, particularly if the violence is out of line, inappropriate, disproportionate. I want to see the people who shot this man held accountable for their behavior, just like I want to see the officers who disrupted the crowd and provoked the May 22nd incidents, or the officer who shot John Dine dead in Santa Cruz, answer hard questions about what happened, as well as his fellow officer. That's Officer Carey, who shot him dead, and Officer Over, who was his partner, who knew Dine. And the kind of whitewash we get from police departments and from the media and from the city councils, we have to find a way past that. Did the crowd have any ideas on that? Did the speakers have any ideas?
Yeah, there were calls for a police review board.
That's not the way past that. We've seen here in Santa Cruz, the police review board functions as a kind of rationalizing tool, a form of fig leaf, so that when, you know, people say, have no fear, just file a complaint with the police review board, and even the current independent investigation has now been declared top secret classified at birth by our city attorney, John Barisoni, and Arnie Leff, the head of the Citizens Police Review Board, apparently is taking a dive on this one. He's, you know, he's just a servant of the city council, and so that's what's happening with that.
Well, there were others who were more further to the left who are calling for a citizens investigation commission, not just on this matter, but on any subsequent matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there were those voices too.
Is there community support for establishing independent institutions in the community that don't rely upon political largesse?
I think it's really wide open down there right now. The community realizes it must exert its own strength and design its own means to bring people to account. I'd say that's generally true. And one of the radio stations down there, a guy called DJ Mojo, said anybody can come on the air and talk to the people.
Is Mojo one of
the bilingual stations?
It's not one of the free radio stations, but it's a standard commercial.
I think it's KHDC.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't familiar, but that's something like that. KHDC, DJ Mojo, said, come on the air with me.
Try to speak up a little bit there. Sorry about that, Nick. We have broadcast problems at this
point. Oh, all right.
That's better.
So the next action down there, and Joe Grossman will give transportation to anybody who wants to go down. So I'll give his number. I believe it's on the 6th. It may be on the 7th, but I think it's on December 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to get people down there and show good Santa Cruz support for the people in this struggle versus police atrocities in Salinas. And it'll be about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Now, December 6th is... it's a Monday, right?
Yeah.
It's also James Joyce's birthday for all of you literary fans.
So if people are willing to go down there, and I think it's very important because this is one of the worst killings in the whole Monterey Bay area.
Now, this is Monday, December 6th at what time?
4 o'clock, probably.
And where will this convoy be leaving from?
This will be from Santa Cruz.
Where?
No, we don't have a place. So I'll just give Joe's telephone number.
Sure, okay.
429-6470.
And also, of course, the number for SPAN, should I give that out as well?
That's fine.
SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now, which has been really, you've been kind of keeping an eye on whatever cases have been brought to your attention, along with your great co-worker, Robert Norris, since...
Well, yeah, occasionally
you
see him.
Occasionally you see Norris, since 1989 or 1990, and you have voluminous files. In fact, if the police knew, they would be raiding your house even now.
Yeah.
And
I'm on over.
475-2012, that's SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now. And again, Joe Grossman's December 6th, Monday, 3:30 caravan down to Salinas for further, active opposition to the police violence down there against the killing of Jose Hernandez, 38 shots, or is it 30? I don't know, at least 38.
Well, 22 entered his body.
22 entered his body.
The rest were just gratuitous around the area.
Well, you got to be careful. You got to be sure, I mean, you never can tell. These people, they might not be dead.
And there were children in the area, of course.
Well, kids got to watch themselves. There's dangerous times.
Yeah, just like on TV.
Just like on TV.
So can I talk ever so briefly about the King City?
Please do.
Yeah. Another event that I was present at, together again with Grossman, the congressional candidate, who's a Labor Democrat. We were down in King City, which is in the far, far end of Monterey County, way in the agricultural sector down there.
And near the prison, too, I think.
Huh?
It's near the prison.
Well, it's actually, there are various prisons down there, that's true, but in King City itself, there aren't.
Right.
And so we were down there with marchers striking employees of Basic Vegetables. Isn't that a lovely, lovely...
Basic Vegetables, yeah.
Name for a company, Basic Vegetables. They're the biggest producers of dried onions and garlic in the whole nation.
Wow.
And these are millionaire people, millionaires, who contribute money to all these repressive ballot measures against immigrants and against labor unions having any political rights.
Mm-hmm. And apparently they're treating their own workers pretty badly, too.
They're treating them, they're trying to cut the wages of any newly hired ones. They're trying to take away a lot of their pension, and they're trying to make them... There's a whole slew of things they're taking away from the workers, and they're really obnoxious. And
the Teamsters Union is the union that they're fighting, right?
Yeah, the Teamsters are their representatives for a new contract, and it's pretty tense in that town. There's only one newspaper, you see, and it's all raked. It's a 40% of the town works for this one company. 40% of all workers. And so when you walk down the street with 750 marchers, nobody on the street dares even smile or greet you or even wave or even just move their wrist in any signal because they don't know if the cops or the company are watching them. This was like going to the deep south, you know what I mean? And Joe and I walked the whole march. It was about 2 miles. And it got windy and cold towards the end. We had a sign saying basic vegetables is basically wrong. And what we discovered, interestingly, from some, not from the union leadership, we discovered this from some lower level workers committee. They said they found out that Congressman Sam Farr had received a check from these Republican owners of basic vegetables. And this has been verified since. It's indeed true. He had received a check in all ignorance. And the workers had not yet managed to convince him to return it. So it's a big mystery. Why would a liberal Democrat congressman take money from far-right Republican company?
You know, these are hard times. You gotta take the money where you can.
Yeah, I gotta understand, boss.
You know, I'm a congressman for all the people.
Don't twist my arm too much, with your thousands
of
bucks.
You know, cluster bombs, you know, depleted uranium weapons. You know, you gotta kind of be more tolerant of some
of
these
things. So as a campaign, as a political campaign, Grossman has been exposing this on the internet, telling the media about this situation.
I'd like to point out we're not taking any money from the Grossman campaign for this latest political announcement. And I got to tell you, much as I like Joe...